This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
My name's Gerald, and I'm 22. For the past year, I've encountered a buttload of crazy people and have accumulated even more crazy stories. While most of them would make you laugh, the one I've chosen to share was terrifying while it was happening and still gives me shivers when I remember it.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
A little more than a year ago, I applied for and got a job at my favorite convenience store across the street from my house. I moved there my sophomore year in college and decided to stay after I left school. This little store has served as a savior to me. Living as young men often do, I had very little money, but I was always confident I could find something to fill my belly regardless of how much was in my pocket at the time. So, when the time came, I was no longer able to rely on my parents for money. The corner store was the first place I went for a job. I was in luck. Only the day before, one of the employees was fired for stealing from the register. I took his place, and I've been here ever since. Like any other corner store, we sell alcohol. Beer, wine, liquor, the whole boat. Naturally, this makes us a beacon for the local drunks. These folks have served as countless hours of entertainment. While most are harmless people, on one specific occasion, a horribly violent outburst occurred. It was a quiet Saturday night, about an hour before close. Most of the regulars had made their appearances, a few more than once. The two involved in this incident had been in around 7 p.m. and had just returned. They were, or at least appeared to be, a couple. I'd seen them around the neighborhood since I moved in. The owner of the store said they'd been customers since he bought the store, and that was 13 years ago. Although they were not very talkative when they came in, I never had any reason to believe either could be violent. However, that night something had changed. Upon arriving the second time, they went straight to the cooler containing the quart and 40-ounce sized beers. Nothing out of the ordinary, as I said, but tonight, an argument between the two started soon after their arrival. Initially, I couldn't hear what it was about, but soon I could hear everything they said across the store. I minded my own business for a while, but once the female began screaming curse words at the man, I felt like I had to at least get them to take it outside. I wasn't sure what to say, but I began my walk to the opposite side of the small store. Before I was halfway there, the man started screaming back at the woman. I'm not sure exactly what she had said to him, but it had obviously infuriated him. Mere moments before, he had taken a quart bottle of Busch or some other cheap beer from the cooler. All of a sudden, he began striking down at the woman's head with it. I'm not sure if he thought it would break or if he intended on hurting her with the merest thing, but strike after strike he continued. It was a horrifying thing to witness. I blame the entertainment industry for giving people the false impression of how easy it is to break a beer bottle over someone's head. I assure you, it's very hard. Following the fifth or sixth strike, the woman had dropped completely to the floor and stopped moving. The guy stood over her for a moment, but looked up when I assumed he heard me running towards him. The second he saw me, he ran out the side door and disappeared into the darkness. The sight of her laying there made me sick to my stomach. The blood dripping from her ears was almost as shocking as the ever-growing pool around her head. It seemed like a bad idea to touch her, so I made the decision to let the paramedics check her for a pulse. When they arrived, she was still alive, but they didn't have much hope for her survival. The cops certainly weren't in any hurry to get there, but when they did finally arrive, 45 minutes later, I filled them in on all I had seen. From the way they reacted, I got a strong feeling that they were very familiar with the two. While on shift, a few days later, my boss called with some news. The female was brain dead, and her family had made the choice to let her pass. The cops had picked the guy up the following night. From the description my boss gave me, he didn't even seem to remember what had happened. The doctors that examined him said that it's likely he truly may not remember what he did, because of the many years of alcohol abuse had possibly destroyed his brain. Sounds like he might not get the full punishment due to him under the law. I'm not really sure how I feel about that. Sometimes, it seems like people really do get away with murder.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I serve as one of two managers for our local branch of a national convenience store chain. Starting as a wide-eyed 23-year-old girl, I worked my way up to night manager within 5 years. Not a groundbreaking achievement, I admit, but an achievement nonetheless. My job includes staying late, after closing, to count the night's drawers and drop the deposits for the day manager to put in the bank. I've never minded much having to do this job. The past 5 years working here has been on the night shift, and nothing really scary has ever happened while I was on the clock. The only holdup in the history of this store occurred during the day. Therefore, I've never had any reason to fear working after dark. That was until just recently when I became the subject of someone's obsession. Talking about this in the first place is very embarrassing for me. I feel like when people hear about this, they think I am bragging about my looks, but I swear I'm not. I recognize that I'm an average-looking woman, but that's as far as my vanity goes. I would have probably kept this incident to myself, but my therapist feels that sharing my experience will help other women, as well as myself. So, that's why we're here. Hopefully he's right, and this horrible ordeal really can serve to help other women who have suffered from the same form of negative attention. Now that I put this off for so long, I guess it's time to tell you exactly what it is that happened. As I said, I work the night shift 6 days a week. The number of weirdos I encounter is somewhat high. A fight once or twice a year, homeless drunks, the usual lot for a clerk in a convenience store in America. In spite of the craziness going on around me, day to day, I had managed to go unnoticed by any of those weirdos until around 6 months ago. About that time, this particular man began coming to the store. Initially, it was only once or twice a week, and when he did, nothing was said to me. However, as time passed, his visits became more and more frequent. This, in itself, isn't that odd. Anybody who's worked in a convenience store for a length of time can tell you regulars go with the territory. Some you will see every day at the same time, some more than once. So at the time, I had no need to be concerned. A month into this routine, I noticed that he would wait until I had no customers so I could ring him up. What made it so obvious was his concerted effort to start a discussion with me. How about that weather? You know, small talk like that. Although I found it funny then, I didn't realize I was encouraging him by engaging in these discussions with him. Soon the talks became more personal, less banal discussions. The first time I was asked if I had a boyfriend, I laughed it off, but the third and fourth were the first indication to me that I may have a problem on my hands. My suspicions were cemented the day he asked me out. Perhaps from instinct I said no, but I was careful to be kind in the way I said it. At that moment, he seemed to take it well. However, another clerk told me later that evening that he was actually very angry. I guess I never really learned to read a guy's body language. The next time he came in, he didn't talk to me and didn't return to normal until a few days later, when he acted like nothing had ever happened. I had gotten the impression he had decided to let it go, but just one day later, he asked me to go out with him again. This time, he said he meant it just as friends. As before, I declined. He made no effort to hide his anger this time, and the expression on his face as he stood there really frightened me. The week following this second incident, I spent most of my time hiding out in the office doing paperwork. A male clerk he had befriended told me he had asked about me, but the clerk only told him I was out. I took advantage of this friendship to ask the clerk to talk to the man. I wanted him to ask the guy to not come into the store when I was working anymore. His most recent behavior had scared me. The discussion must have happened because I didn't see him for several days. Curious as to what was said, I asked the clerk what reaction the man had. He only answered by saying that the guy had severe anger problems and I should probably watch my back. I'm not sure if the clerk thought that would make me feel better, but obviously it made me far more scared. He stayed away from the store during my shifts and I didn't see him for a few weeks. One day during shift change, I was talking to the day manager and he mentioned a discussion that he had had with my stalker, as he called him.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The manager had made the remark in passing that he didn't normally see him that time of the day. The guy told him he had stopped coming in on my shift because I thought I was too good for him. The manager said as he spoke, his eyes blazed with anger. I'd certainly dodged a bullet. At least that's what I thought then. In the coming weeks, I would catch glimpses of him walking through the parking lot. Sometimes he would stand at the edge of the lot just outside the glare of the lamp and watch me. The last time I caught him doing this, I called the cops. When they arrived, I explained the situation to them, but as you can imagine, they told me they couldn't do anything unless he blatantly threatened me. Of course, by the time they arrived, he was gone. I'm not sure if me calling the cops scared him or not, but I didn't see him for a while. Our last meeting was less than an hour after close, about a month ago. I had just finished the deposits and was preparing to leave the store. As I walked out of the office, heading to the door, I noticed the shadow of a man standing out of the glare of the lamp, just as my stalker had done. Terrified, I called the cops right away. There was no way I was going to leave the store alone at 12:50 a.m. with him standing outside. They showed up in less than 5 minutes, but naturally, he had already left. I got the usual speech, but they were at least kind enough to volunteer to come around for the next week or two at closing and hang around until I could lock up and drive away. It wasn't until 2 weeks later that I heard the news. While I was engaging in work talk with the male clerk, he mentioned that my stalker had ended his own life the week before. I didn't believe him, so we went into the office and he brought the man's obituary up on the computer. Shocked would be an understatement. I knew I hadn't seen him, but I assumed the police presence at close had scared him off. It took me a few minutes to gather myself. I wasn't sure how to feel about this. While he had clearly become a danger to me, I couldn't help but feel bad for him. He obviously had a major anger issue, but I had no idea how bad his life had been outside the store. I've always thought it was important to try and be empathetic towards others. On the other hand, the relief I felt, and still feel often, overrides any feelings of sadness or guilt I may have. I can only hope that he has found as much peace in taking his life as I have. God, I know that sounds terrible, but honestly, can you blame me? Rest in peace, Robert. I do truly hope you have found the peace you so sorely needed. Recently, a terrible event occurred at the gas station my family owns, and considering the fact the victim was somebody close to the family, I thought this would be the best way for him to be remembered. However, the only way my dad would allow me to share this story is on the condition I didn't use the people's real names. So, anybody interested in looking online for more information surrounding this crime will be disappointed because I'll have to change all the names. I guess I should start by giving you all some info on my family and our store. My dad bought it in 1996, a few years after his wife and he divorced. A few years later, he ran into our mom at the store. They had dated in high school, and she had just moved back after her husband died. They dated for a couple of months and then decided to get married. By March of 2000, my mom was pregnant with my sister and then me about 2 years after. Most of our life has taken place in and around the store. My sister and I both learned to walk there, and many, if not all, of our babysitters were women that worked there. My dad always said that the store itself was part of the family, and that includes everybody who works there. If that's true, Steve should have been the godfather of the family. He'd already been working at the store 10 years before Dad bought it, and he was the one that taught him how the place ran best. They became fast friends, and since he had no living family, he spent every holiday with us. Heck, they even hunted together. That's the reason his death in a holdup hit us so hard. The day after it happened, a call from the cops came into the store asking for the surveillance footage of the robbery. It didn't seem right for Dad or Amy, my sister, to compile it, so I volunteered. I'll surely never volunteer for anything ever again. Going into this knowing what would happen made it harder, but I knew the others definitely couldn't handle it. I only knew the basics of the shooting, so as I watched the guy enter and approach the counter, a sick feeling rose in my gut. My instinct was to yell at the screen in a vain effort to warn Steve, but the stupidity of doing that stopped me. For the first minute, they stood and talked. I couldn't hear about what because the camera had no audio. I was caught off guard when he pulled out the gun. It was so fast. Even without the sound, Steve's fear was plain. He did his best to keep the robber calm, and he was until Steve handed him the money from the register. The robber had chosen the time right before closing to come in. Unfortunately for him, Steve had just dropped most of the cash in a few minutes before, and what he was handed was no more than a $20 bill, a five, and five ones. He must have expected more. He began screaming, and Steve tried to calm him down. He must have known somehow what was about to happen. His expression was of downright horror. Right before the shot came, he said something to the robber. At first, I couldn't tell what it was, but after rewinding the video a few times, I could kind of read his lips say, "Oh God, please don't do it. You don't have to." Those were his last words. Five gunshots later, his life was over. The video ended with the shooter running out of the store. No one shows up on the screen again until about 1:17 a.m. when the officer stopped to see why the store was still open. He was the one who found Steve's body. When I was positive I had what they needed.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I checked to make sure the clip had recorded to the thumb drive. Confident it had, I removed it and dropped it into a manila envelope and sealed it up. The teardrop hitting the envelope was the first hint to me that I'd been crying. I hadn't realized how important a part Steve played in my life. Just to make sure no one would bumble onto it, I locked the envelope in my desk drawer and called them to pick it up. I thought it may comfort you to know that the police know who the shooter is. It sounds like the guy couldn't stop complaining about how little we got, and somebody snitched him out. They haven't arrested him yet, but it's only a matter of time. I'm sure that will be enough to hang him, and that's exactly what I hope they do to him. I know his execution won't bring Steve back, but the thought of that SOB dying, sure, feels good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.